Trees in our forests and yards are getting ready to bud across northern Minnesota, and this means it's time to pay attention to our fruit trees and get ready for the growing season. This morning, we're checking in with our friend David Gilbertson, owner of Gilby's Apple Orchard in Aiken, to get some advice. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Maggie. Thanks so much for having us on again here.
Thanks for your time today. Now, I want to tell others that I called you in a panic last week because when the deep snow melted at my house, we discovered we had an emergency with our apple trees that we had bought from you a couple years back. And even though we'd wrapped them and protected them, two of them were completely girdled right where the first branches started, and the third had been chewed by some kind of a critter. So I called you to actually order new trees because I thought they were dead. And you stopped me. So let's start there with what you told me about dealing with trees that have been girdled.
Well, when a tree is girdled, whether it has been from a rabbit or a meadow vole, there's things that you can do to possibly save your tree. And so when you looked at the tree, and Maggie explained to me that it was about a foot up from the ground. Mm-hmm. And so that means that there's a chance that we can save this tree. And if it had been girdled 360 degrees all the way around it, that tree will not live. There's nothing that you can do to save that tree because it's not going to be able to provide nutrition to the tree or the rootstock. So in this cut, what I recommended to Maggie is that right underneath the girdling, if she did something, it's called a heading cut. And all what you're really doing is you're just cutting it off perpendicular to the tree itself. And when you do that, the tree is going to wake up in the spring and it's going to say, oh my goodness, I've lost my leader. Mm-hmm. And if the tree is a younger tree, like a 4 to 5 year old tree, there are dormant buds that are latent buds that are in the trunk that still exist between the bud union and that cut. And those are going to actually begin to grow, and they're going to grow quite rapidly. In fact, I'm guessing inside of the first 2 months, she's going to have 4 or 5 new shoots to choose as a new leader for her tree. And what she should do is she should look at the two strongest ones, keep those, and then prune off the other ones that are trying to compete with those two. And keep those two leaders until next spring, like in March. And then she could cut off the one that is not as nice as the other one. And now she's going to have a new tree again. And because that root system is so well established that you'll be amazed, you could get 4 feet of growth on your new leader just this year.
That's really good because it's very disappointing to have something like that happen.
Absolutely. And kind of the rule of thumb that we use, Maggie, is that if something girdles around your tree or you're out there inspecting your tree this spring, and if you see that it's made it over 50%, that's what we recommend doing the heading cut. If they've done under 50%, let's say they've just gone and nibble that, 20 or 30% around the tree. You know, at that point, I think you should just leave it and not try to put anything else on it, but you could leave that. And in most cases, we've seen that if the tree is healthy and well-nourished, it should be able to survive that. You know, as it gets to that 50% point, now it's getting quite marginal. You know, if it's even close to that, we recommend cutting the top off. And if it's a younger tree, younger than 5 years, and I've even seen some trees even a little bit older than 5 years that this heading cut has worked very well. And we've been sharing this information with all of our customers for years and with really good success. So I think, Maggie, you're going to be in good shape.
All right. Well, you know, we cut it off last week, and every day I go out there to see if anything's coming out of the trunk. And I do see there are some kind of bud areas there. And of course, I want ones that will grow above the graft. That's right.
And that you hit the nail on the head, that you want the ones above the graft. And anything below the graft is just going to be nothing but the rootstock. And it's not going to be the variety of apple that you're looking for.
Okay. And then we got another question from Bruce. And he said this winter he had a broken branch on his wealthy apple tree, and that it was a horizontal branch and it broke next to the tree and was peeling down the trunk, and he removed the branch and he cleaned up some of where it was torn, but he's wondering if he should do anything to protect that tree, like paint it or put anything on it, or how he should cope with that.
So once you have a larger branch that has cracked or broken, the thing that we recommend to do is something called a Dutch cut. And a Dutch cut is something, and you can look this up because it's kind of hard to explain over the radio, but you're doing an angular cut on the branch right where it adjoins, where the branch adjoins the trunk. And when you do that, you're able to get rid of that branch, and then you're going to be able to have a spot where a new branch will grow from the Dutch cut. And if you Google Dutch cuts, you'll clearly see what I mean by that. But where it ripped, I think what Bruce's issue was is that it started to rip the cambium or rip that bark off. And yeah. So what we do is we would push that back up. And what we've actually been able to do is secure that back with the bark that it was torn from. And if you do that soon enough, believe it or not, that will re-heal and it will be fine.
Oh,
and what we've either done is we've either taken, believe it or not, even duct tape or zip ties or whatever, and you bring that bark right back up to the other bark, tie it tight to that. And if you leave it like that for a few months, you'll be amazed at what it does.
Wow.
Even electrical tape, it's like grafting, really.
We are talking with David Gilbertson from Gilby's Apple Orchard in Aiken to get some advice about our trees. David, what other things should we be checking out in our apple trees this time of year?
Well, you know, I put together this morning a little list of things that I think that in the spring people should be looking for. Number one is you're going out to look for any winter damage, and we've just talked about that winter damage. Number two is that if you haven't done your pruning, ideally you want to get that pruning done in March or early April. Right now it's starting to get a little late. I think you're still okay. But this is the thing you always want to remember with a fruit tree, is that we all want to be as pesticide-free of any types of sprays that we ever would use on our tree. So it's all about airflow through your tree. Prune your tree so you get really good airflow. And if you have good airflow, you're going to end up with not having near the fungal conditions that you're going to have if you have a very dense canopy. And this is the thing that, I mean, if you think about a happy leaf is a dry leaf.
Mm.
And if the leaves were always dry, you would never have to worry about fungal issues. So if you don't prune your tree, it's going to be a denser canopy. The leaves are going to stay wet longer, and you're going to be more susceptible to fungal spores. So it's really important, the pruning part, to get great airflow through your tree. Pruning is the next really important activity that we think about. The next one would be feeding your tree. Now is the time to get that granular fertilizer on your tree. Of course, we work our trees really hard. We have a number of trees to work with, so we work with a co-op where they make us a special fertilizer for our trees that we put on every year. But even being able to put some 10-10-10 or something with 10-10-10 and micronutrients is really a good thing right now. But when we talk about feeding the tree, this is so important that you only feed the tree April, May, and June. And you do not feed the tree as of July. And this is probably one area where we find a lot of people making this mistake, is they'll use tree stakes or fertilizer stakes, or they'll use something where that tree is being fed into July and August. And that would probably be the worst thing that you could do for your tree, because as of July 1st or summer solstice, you need that tree to start shutting down, believe it or not, and getting ready to go to bed and go into its dormancy. And so the better job you do of feeding it at the right time is so important. If you feed it too late in the season, it's not going to want to shut down, and you're going to have tremendous winter damage.
How do you feed a tree?
With the granular fertilizer is the one thing that we're talking about right now.
You put it in the ground near the tree or at the drip edge, or how do you?
You could broadcast that granular fertilizer right around the drip line of the tree.
Okay.
What we do, it's all based on tree size. But, you know, let's just say you have a tree that the trunk is about 4 inches in diameter. You know, you'll take a half a cup to a cup, and you'll broadcast that around the drip line of the tree.
Okay. Any other advice for us in the spring?
Yes, I got two more bullets. The next bullet would be, there's this whole principle on called thinning your tree, and thinning is equally as important as pruning. And so now all of a sudden it's going to go into blossom. You're going to have these beautiful blossoms. You're going to have great pollination. And now you've got all these little fruitlets. And what a fruitlet is it's a little apple about the size of your thumbnail. When you go out there and look at that, ideally what you're going to, and if you look at it really close, you're going to see something different than what you've ever seen before. You're going to have something called a king fruit in the middle, which is larger. And then you're going to have four or five subordinates around it. And ideally what you want to do, if you want to really strive for quality fruit this year, is you want to get rid of all those subordinates around that king fruit. And you want one king fruit per fist. So if you would just imagine your fist, you would want one king fruit at one end of your fist and another king fruit at the other end of your fist. And if you do that, you're going to be amazed at the quality of fruit you generate on your tree.
Okay. So we thin those apples, those baby, little baby apples that are growing.
That's exact. And you want to do it, and this is really the secret, you want to do it between the time that fruitlet is about the size of a nickel. If you wait too much longer, then it won't do too much good because the tree has already done this diagnostics that says, okay, I've got way too much fruit on me. It's all going to be small. I'm not going to put as much energy into fruit spurs for the next year or into my winter protection for this next year. So it's really an important thing to do.
Okay. And you have another bullet point for us.
The other point would be, you know, with tree trunk protection. You talked a little bit about tree trunk protection, and we have a new tree trunk protection system that we are using now at Gilby's, and it's something you can see online at gilbysorchard.com. But it's something that, you know, as we're trying to find what is the best tree trunk protection system for north central Minnesota. And we found a product that's manufactured in Minnesota, and that's a product now that we are using and we're pretty excited about. So it's something that, you know, people might have some interest in. They can see it on gilbysorchard.com.
Well, I can attest that tree trunk protection is important. After ours were chewed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, I was going to ask you about the nursery at Gilby's, and just to tell us about that.
What's really interesting is that over the years, you know, we've had such wonderful feedback from our customers that we continue to grow, and we're getting people outside of the state of Minnesota that are outside of the north central part of Minnesota that are wanting our bare root fruit trees. And so we've implemented a whole new distribution model now where we're able to provide fruit trees to, I mean, 8 states right now. And it's just amazing that we have a new program where we're shipping these really 7-foot, 8-foot trees to anywhere, like, for example, in Minnesota for $34 or something for about 5 or 6 trees. And so we're excited about our new shipping model because a lot more people are able to take advantage of some of the trees that we have. It was interesting. We had a customer yesterday that said, I've been trying to find this type of tree on this type of rootstock, and we finally found it at Gilby's. We've really broadened our selection of trees that are available to our customers, and we're trying to make it as easy as possible to get those trees right to their doorstep.
What kind of advice do you have for folks who live around here in terms of what kind of trees they should think about planting and how you actually plant a tree when you get it?
When you get the tree, let's say you're gonna order bare root trees, it's really important that you make sure that you get the right varieties. So we break it into something kind of simple on our website. We call it early season, mid season, and late season. And ideally what you would want to have is 2 different varieties in the same bloom season. So that might sound kind of crazy, but so let's just take Zestar, which is a very, very popular apple tree. It's a zone 3, very cold hardy. You could have 50 Zestar trees and get very little fruit, if any. But if you have Zestar and then you put a different variety in the same bloom season, like Chestnut Crab or State Fair or some of the others, now you're going to have that pollen that's going to generate great fruit production. So the secret is make sure that you do these following things. You make sure you have different varieties in the same bloom season. And then the other little caveat is to make sure that they don't have the same parents. And if you do those things, you're gonna be amazed at your pollination. And in North Central Minnesota, pollination is the key to success. And making sure that you have that different variety in the same bloom season without the same parentage. And you'll be amazed at how well your trees do.
What about rootstock? When I first planted apple trees at my house, I bought full-size trees and they died. Mm. But the small trees on a different rootstock made a big difference for us. Can you explain what that is?
There's three primary types of rootstocks. There's a dwarfing rootstock, a semi-dwarfing rootstock, and a standard rootstock. And if we keep it real simple, the dwarfing rootstock, it's something you just don't find at the standard nursery. This is a rootstock that we work with growers 4 or 5 years in advance, and we have trees grafted to those rootstocks. And the dwarfing rootstocks, which we call Badushki 9, is one of the most cold-hardy rootstocks. It's probably the most cold-hardy rootstock that's out there today, which could survive any Bemidji winter or any zone 2 or 3 winter, providing you do a few things. And the thing about that tree is it's going to give you instant gratification. It wants to generate fruit the first or second year. And so this tree is going to be in production so much sooner than some of the others. Now, this tree will get to be about 10 feet tall. The downside is you have to stake it because it's not strong enough to support itself. Then as we go to semi-dwarf, that's going to be about a 15-foot tree. And that's what 90% of the nurseries are going to have when you go into a nursery. And I think that that's another important tip, Maggie, is that the listeners, as they're going in to buy a fruit tree, they should know what rootstock they're getting it on. That's very important because that's controlling the growth habit of the tree. And so that semi-dwarf tree is going to come into production then, you know, maybe 3 to 5 years. And then if you were to get a standard tree, it's going to be a much taller tree. And we have a whole selection of standard trees now that we have available to our customers because some people want these big 25-foot trees to use for wildlife food plots and many, many other things. But now that's going to take a little bit longer to come into production based on variety. It could be anywhere between 4 and 7 years to come into production. But so rootstocks are equally as important in your decision-making as the type of tree you're going to purchase.
David, there is so much to apples and apple trees, and I could talk to you all day about this, but we're about out of time. Can you tell us what you're looking forward to at Gilby's Apple Orchard this summer? You have anything new going on?
Well, you know, we're right now trying to get through our big bare root tree sales this spring, and it's been just amazing. We've had great response from our customers, and I guess that's our primary focus right now, Maggie, is to get through this. We'll be selling our bare root trees until they're gone. We hope to still have inventory available for another 3 to 4 weeks, and then we'll be done with our bare root tree sales, and then we'll be focusing on our orchard, and we're excited about that because just as we talk, we're putting in another whole line of dwarfing trees here at Gilby's this spring, and so that's an exciting next step for us with this new growing system.
David Gilbertson, owner of Gilby's Apple Orchard in Aiken, thank you for all the information and for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Maggie, thanks so much, and I'll be very interested to know how your tree is doing, so give me a call.
All right.
As you see. Have a great day.
You too. You are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on Northern Community Radio, connecting you to ways to set up a healthy apple growing season.